This episode is a two-part episode. If you enjoyed part one, please come back next week, Wednesday morning, for part two.
Everyone will say, you know, look at the wins and losses as what a coach does. But that's, my opinion is the furthest from that, though. And it's the relationships you build and the memories you make.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063. In this episode, we have Jason Rice, teacher and head football coach. Jason, welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I really appreciate it. This is my first podcast ever as a commentator on it.
So, okay.
Heck yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for making the trip in. You know, for all the listeners, I love when you recommend guests for the podcast because, you know, I only know so many people. So if you recommend people, it helps out. And, you know, Coach, one of the reasons why you're here is Chantel, who's an avid listener. She recommended you. Also, Tom Gerhart, his episode was 123. Mm-hmm. For the listeners that haven't listened, highly recommend you go back and check it out. But, you know, so thank you to Chantel for recommending you and getting you here. Now, how do you know her?
She's actually our booster club president.
Is she really?
So, yeah, talk about, now you want your next recommendation is to bring her on.
Yeah.
So someone who is, she's from Cedar Crest. And she actually, and I'm not going to give away her whole story, but super successful, just woman in general, but also the amount of hats that she wears in the organization she's involved in so many different capacities.
Okay.
I mean, that's a solid one right
there. Yeah, that's absolutely a good one. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, she's our booster club president.
You're next up to bat here. Is that what it is? Okay, so that's it. Mm-hmm. Man, it's such a small world. And, you know, just to clarify before we start jumping into your episode, mm-hmm. You're a teacher at Cedarcliff High School, which is over on the West Shore. For those that might not be familiar, that's like Camp Hill, Mechanicsburg, right outside of Harrisburg.
Harrisburg, yeah, right across the water.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And then you're the head football coach right here at North Lebanon High School.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Wow. Okay. I want to start with what are your roots? You know, what's your early childhood like? Let's get some information about that. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, so actually, I'm a Lebanon County dude. So I was born and bred in Palmyra.
Okay.
So yeah, I spent my whole entire childhood there. Came up, graduated from Palmyra High School. Didn't go that far for college, but Yeah, so I mean, my roots really have been here. Now my life journey has taken me to other places, but now here I am, though, at the ripe age of 32, back here in this area.
There you go. What'd you do in high school? Sports, theater, music? What were you?
It was athletics the whole way. I mean, yeah. Now, even before high school, like as a kid growing up. So I get that comes from my dad.
Okay.
You know, he was in athletics his whole life too, and he actually kind of stayed in that world too. When he became an adult, he went on to become a coach then too.
Okay.
In football. So I remember when I was, say, 6 years old, I was on the sidelines when he was coaching, and now he coached over Milton Hershey School.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. They have a good program.
They do.
I believe.
They
yeah.
do, yeah. And he, great memories from that part of my childhood of just being on the sideline between water boy or ball boy and you know,
yeah.
just feeling like I'm a part of it. But like you said, they have good football. So I feel like that's where I kind of learned the game, and not only from the coaches there, but watching the players on the field.
Right. And you probably got, you know, that camaraderie, you know, in football and
yeah.
feeling like you're part of the team at such a young age probably definitely helped, you know, propel you in your sports career.
Oh my gosh. I was obsessed. Yeah. Like anytime I had a chance to go with my dad to practice or games, I was right there.
Yeah. And what's your dad's first name?
Mark.
Mark. Yeah. Shout out to Mark if yeah. you're listening. And now, if I'm not mistaken, he's your defensive coordinator?
He is.
That's yeah. wild, man.
Yeah,
oh man. Wow. Okay. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Cause I want to
totally.
Hear like, you know, do you guys butt heads? You get along? Well, you know, I want to dive into that, but,
yeah.
Okay. So sports throughout high school, real quick, what sports? Football, track, field?
Yeah, baseball, so, I mean, football was always present. And actually, a fun, quick side story is there was one point in my football career where I wanted to quit.
Really?
Yeah. Now, when I say football career, I'm talking like I was 7 or 8 years
okay.
old. Okay. And I wasn't crazy about it. You know, how about it? And
yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was just because I wasn't the best player when I was younger. It took time. And then eventually later on life skills developed and I, you know, had a decent career. But yeah, at one point I went to my dad and I said, I don't know if I like this. And he's like, well, what if we pull you out of tackle, put you into flag football? So the next season I joined the Hershey flag football program. I'm not sure if that still is around or not, but my love, boom, instantly there it was. I went back to having fun.
Okay. I was going to say, what do you think it was? Like, what do you think it was for you?
Well, I got to admit it, a little bit was the coaching of it.
Okay.
You know, at that age, let's just put it this way. If those coaches were still coaching today, parents wouldn't be too fond.
I see what you're saying.
So,
I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It was an intense, even at younger ages,
yeah.
there was no letting up. It was
wow.
it was hardcore.
See, then it's no fun, and then the kids don't
Correct.
Want to come out and play, and then
right.
numbers drop, and then when they get to middle school and high school, you know, those head coaches are wondering where's all the athletes, you know, where's all the kids, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think we all, maybe not nowadays, but like you said, if you're 30s and above, you know, you can kind of appreciate some of those hard nosed coaches, you know. And
oh yeah,
I'm not saying when you're that young, but you know what I mean, high school, middle school. I'm sure mm-hmm. we can all remember a coach that, you know, ran us or, you know,
oh my gosh,
or
yeah.
educated us in a way, but it's discipline too. You know, I think a lot of it is discipline, but again, when you're 7, 8, you know, young,
then it's a little, right. You
yeah.
got to teach a little bit of love.
It's gotta be
it
fun.
Too.
Right. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, I've had on, Steve Lebo. He was a football coach at Cedar Crest and he was, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, ninth grade year, I think it was, for me and my head coach. And he was just a guy that you wanted to, a coach that you wanted to win for, you know, and he treated the players with respect. He joked around with you, but, you know, you respected him and you wanted to win. And I think that has an impact, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes one good coach for it to then just, you know, there's your a good amount of your future. You
yeah.
know? And so I've had a lot of coaches in my life, too. You know, my dad being the first to really kind of propel me in this career and call it. And but I mean, his head coach at the time in Milton Hershey was a guy by the name of Bob Geyer.
Okay.
Coach Geyer, he has been a mentor my whole life. He kind of taught me about the values behind football, not just X's and O's stuff, but the things that the game can teach you.
Yeah.
And then obviously between my playing and then coaching myself career, I've come across many great coaches.
Great coaches, yeah. And that's what it's all about. So now going from high school to college, because you played in college,
mm-hmm.
Where was that and how was that experience?
It was great, yeah. I went to Albright College over in Reading, PA. So it was a unique one, to say the least, though. So the end of my senior year, had a solid high school career. And I was selected to play actually in the Lancaster Lebanon All-Star game.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's a big honor.
Oh, yeah. You know what absolutely. I mean?
Not everybody gets to do that.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, we even have a few players that we send each year, and I'll give those guys some shout outs then when we get later on to the Northern Lebanon phase there of this go. Conversation. Yeah, but
definitely.
So, yeah, I got to play in that, and it happened Memorial Day weekend. That's when it's played each year. And I was returning a kickoff.
Okay.
Went to just change direction. I saw like a lane open up to the right, change direction. My entire knee blew out.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So because of that, then the start of my college career was actually me on the sideline for an entire year.
I bet that was tough.
It created some barriers because I was going into an environment where I didn't know nobody. Very few people knew me. And I couldn't go out in the field and make a name for myself.
Yeah, you know prove yourself. I mean? Right. Yeah. Earn the respect of the other players, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So I'm seeing some of the other freshmen in my class that are doing some of the things that I wanted to do and making an impact and building that stuff. Meanwhile, I'm the guy that hauled out the equipment because I was rehabbing my knee to get back.
Nobody likes that. You got to do it, but nobody likes it. You know?
Right. At least it was a good work study, so I made some money
there at the same time. Okay. Yeah. So then from the injury, how'd the rest of your career go at Albright? And what position were you playing then?
Yeah. So, I mean, I know we kind of got off track there. I played multiple sports in high school, but football was always it. Quarterback was my prominent position throughout those years, but I played defense too, and I also played wide receiver. I played running back. You know, I liked having the ball. It was nice, but I was never the biggest dude. So I got pretty good at the defensive side of things. I played corner, and so I decided to continue to pursue that then in college. Boy, was I in for a surprise once you realize what collegiate wide receivers
the next level
are like. Yeah
quick.
Yeah, so
very quick. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I had to work my rear end off to come back from my knee injury, and even in that transition, when I was back on the field, I couldn't say I was at 100%, you know what I mean? But not only that too, there's that mental barrier of trying to overcome a serious injury like that.
Yeah.
And then the exposure to just the pure athleticism, speed, quickness of collegiate level wide receivers. Boy, it took me some time to adjust.
Big difference. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but nonetheless, I ended up having a great career, got some good playing time. And then I will say, you know, I'm a perfect example of it is you want to see the field, get on special teams.
Okay.
You know, especially at the collegiate level.
Make a name for yourself.
Correct. Yeah. So, my whole college career started off with me being a gunner and a hawk on punt and punt return.
Oh, wow.
You know? Yeah. If I can stop a guy from making the tackle, and if I'm the first one to make the tackle.
Yeah, come down
and
crack somebody.
That's what it's all about. So, yeah.
Those positions always, I was never, being a bigger dude, I was always on the line back. And again, this goes back to 2011. I just played at Cedar Crest, you know, the local high school here. And man, I remember this was a practice. Oh, man, I might have been a freshman. I haven't talked about it in a while. And what was it? It was kick. We were practicing kickoff and kick return.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I was one of the guys blocking for the return man. And I just remember this senior. And it was a clean hit. Laid me out. It was brutal. It was a clean hit. Laid me out. I just remember being flat on my back.
Now,
and
did you see him coming?
Out of the corner of my eye, I did. Okay. But it was like one of those split seconds, you know. And I just didn't, being a big dude, I didn't have time to react. And bam, he leveled me. And I'm like, okay, we got to get off special teams. What I was thinking, you know, this ain't for me. You know, get me on the O-line where I can pass block and, you know, run block. But,
oh, my gosh. But that's what, one of the funniest things is with me being a smaller guy and playing corner, you get a big, fast running back running like a sweep to your side or something.
Yeah.
You see it coming the whole way. But you can't back up.
What do you do?
And you're like, okay, like this is clearly going to be a collision. How's it going to go? And that's probably why you see nowadays, like the defensive backs typically come out and like take the legs out.
Right.
And it's because we ain't trying to take on a whole body.
No, you can't stand up, you know, and you got to keep your feet moving, you know, all these important things. You know, if you just stand there and catch him, boom, you're going to get run over and he's probably going to keep going, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So, you know, Albright, you know, you had a career there, which again, most high school athletes don't get to play at that next level.
Yeah.
But now, if I read on the form correctly, you know, growing up, you weren't really a fan of school. You didn't like school.
No, yeah, it just it, yeah. it. And here's the thing too is that I wasn't the guy that sat up front and I didn't raise my hand to answer every question, but I got the work done that I needed to get done.
Okay.
You know, so I recognized the value in school, and obviously still do with my career being a teacher. And I recognized the value in it, but I was never a fan of it. You know,
yeah.
I was that typical athlete where I was like, well, I'm going to school and passing so that I can continue to be
play
an
sports.
Athlete.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and so it's interesting to see where I've gotten to now, but yeah, I wasn't the best, but I did my work at the very least, and maybe at times was defiant of it.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Still did it.
You got it done, right? Yep, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then from Albright to, you know, becoming a teacher, what was that process like?
Oh boy, yeah. So an interesting one, at least. I mean, that was my degree and everything, and I was actually planning on being a history teacher and then just coaching high school ball.
Yeah.
And then so I did that at first. I got a long-term substitute job over at Milton Hershey.
Okay.
I was like, okay, so here's my end and everything. And I volunteered then to coach at Milton Hershey for a year or two. And it hit me one night. We were out just with a group of people, and my dad and Coach Geyer and them had a great connection with the staff at Lebanon Valley College.
Okay.
At the time it was Coach Bueller was the head coach there, Joe Bueller, and so he was out with us, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna talk to him. And I leaned over to my dad and I was like, you know, do you think I should just be like, hey coach, you got any spots open, you know, I can come over and coach with you maybe? Dad was like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to talking to them. It led to almost like a 20, 30-minute conversation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because, I mean, they recruited me out of high school too, but it was – I could walk from Palmyra to LVC, so it was too close.
Yeah, yeah, right, I understand. Yeah, yeah.
So – but they knew of, like, how I was, and then Albright played LVC. That's actually a huge rivalry.
Is it? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So they knew how I was as a player in high school, how I was in college, and that he was like, you know – actually, we do have an assistant spot open, if it's something you're interested in. And so I went through the interview process and everything. And so I took a detour. What was originally supposed to be just teaching and coaching then led to my college step then, and the first being here at LBC.
Okay.
So that was an awesome experience. I did 1 year where I was still in that long-term sub spot, and then was just part-time at LVC. And then my second year, I got the opportunity to basically, like, it was like a full-time, and it wasn't even a full-time, it was like a full-time intern type position at LVC, but it at least gave the environment of,
right,
that's now where I work.
Know? Oh, yeah, yeah. And LVC, I mean, for, again, listeners might not know, is, I'd say, pretty prestigious for, you know, the surrounding area here.
Absolutely.
You know, I have a younger sister. She graduated from LVC. And,
oh, good.
You know, yeah, yeah. So campus is nice. The teams are always, you know, competitive, you know, for sure.
And that's, it's a great neighborhood college to be at.
Yeah,
100%. It really is. Yeah.
I would agree.
The environment of the place there, they compete well in academics. They're well coached throughout. I enjoyed my time there.
Yeah, gosh, wow. So you've been everywhere, and what I mean, like, you've covered so much. Mm-hmm. For, would you say you're 32? You know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, yeah.
That's wild, man. That's great. Like, so
at
much
32,
so much experience.
Yeah. So I've been coaching now, like, wow, no, 11 years now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. Let's take a quick sip break.
Certainly.
This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer.
I know I kind of bounced around with some answers though. But yeah, I played football, basketball, and baseball were my sports coming up.
Okay.
And then I think it was in middle school, my hitting in baseball kind of declined. I was a great catcher.
And, yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't boast like that, but my hitting was not great.
It was not good.
And so I became a designated runner, basically, for the offensive side of it.
Yeah.
And then that's when I realized I was fast. And so then I started competing in track.
Okay.
And so then in high school, I switched fully to track and actually won a lot of stuff there. Even went to states for both javelin and long jump.
Okay. Javelin, long jump. Yeah, nice. I can see that.
Yeah.
Wow. So and so that made you a well-rounded athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure those experiences, you know, helped you at the Valley with coaching, you know, with coaching those college athletes. So now, with all your experiences, what would you say has been, like, the biggest impact? And then we'll get back to your story, because I want to keep going on how you got to Northern Lebanon and Cedar Cliff. But, like, what has really been a big impact on you, you know, as a coach? Is it... you know, the players, or is it the parents? Is it the wins, the losses? Like, what do you take away, and what do you, how do you learn as a coach, right? Because, of course, the players are always learning, but if the coaches aren't learning, then are we really succeeding? Are we really growing, you know?
Right, yeah. In my opinion, everyone will say, you know, look at the wins and losses as what a coach does. But that's, my opinion is the furthest from that, though. And it's the relationships you build and the memories you make.
Yeah.
You know, even small things. And, yeah, you know, we all have memories of big games we won, or, you know, ones we competed in, or big things happened. But I think about, like, some of the times in the weight room where we got a song jamming and guys are dancing, stuff like that. And I think about just some of the people I've gotten to work with, and the fact that, you know, a perfect example is just last week I got a call from a coach that I used to work with at LVC. And it was just, we just took the time to talk to one another, and just so to have that, you know, and that the things like that will happen for the rest of my life. And it's because I got involved in this game.
You know, it's not just, like you said, wins and losses, not just numbers, but it's making an impact at an individual level that then, you know, because I'm sure some athletes that have moved on call you up and say, hey, coach, you know, I'm maybe not engaged yet, but, you know, like, you know, they tell you stories and things that they're proud of.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and then it's like that reflects on your character, on you as a coach and as a person, you know?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So going from LVC, how did you end up kind of on complete ends? You know, you got Cedar Cliff and you got Northern Lebanon. Let's dive into that.
Totally. So there was actually quite some time in between there where I traveled. So it took very little time at LVC for me to realize I can do this full time. So I went all in on pursuing a full-time college football coach career. During my full-time intern year at LVC, I was Coach Bueller knowingly too, I was applying all over the place to any job that would take me anywhere.
You're hungry.
And eventually the call came after a while. And so it was Methodist University down in North Carolina that called, and that then led to my next 3 years of living down there and coaching.
Wow.
Now that was full time. I was salaried, benefits and everything.
Okay.
So I really enjoyed to finally get that first taste of, like, oh, this is, you know, it can be lucrative as well. But then to have every day you wake up, and even though you're putting in 12, 14, 15 hour days, you get to do the one thing that you love more than anything else. So, you know, what the
heck? It's not even work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was probably the stage in my life that had the biggest impact on where I'm at now was North Carolina. Just the relationships I've made, the players that I've gotten to work with. I'm getting ready to get married here in June.
Oh, congrats. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my best friends was our offensive line coach.
No way.
There. Yeah. Okay. Quick side story for him. So Luke Gogarty, I'm sure he'll listen to this at some point. He actually then transitioned down to Florida Atlantic University.
Okay.
Where he coached ball for a few years.
Wow.
Wild. So...
good for him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah,
to make a jump like that, make an impact.
Yeah.
And I know he's built connections. He's called me several times about how his name's been dropped. I don't want to give the wrong places, but major programs have talked about maybe, you know, he might be a guy to bring on. He is a great coach. So yeah, he's one of my best friends. So he'll be coming up for that, as well as two of the players that I coach, and the three of us just built such a close bond, in those years together there. So they'll be coming up for the wedding as
well.
That's
awesome.
So,
yeah. Well, you would be a pretty young coach, you know. Well, how old were you? I mean,
I was maybe 23 to 26.
Yeah,
years
that's
old.
What I mean. Yeah, so you know, you think of some of these coaches now being, you know, older and they got the beer guts or whatever they got going on, you know. Yeah. But you could probably relate a little bit more with those, you know, those athletes coming up through, you know. And real quick, let's your fiance. What's her first name?
Madeline.
Maddie. Yeah. Maddie. Shout out to Maddie. That's awesome. Yeah. So did you meet her down there also? Or
no. So there is a bit of a long story to that one. So this was back. It was right before COVID. It was the year going into COVID. Is that I was coming in North Carolina. Things were just, the time frame seemed like it was coming to an end. Both Vontre and Nick Baker, who were those two guys that I coached.
Okay.
Vontre Howard, Nick Baker. They were getting ready to graduate. You know, we had a lot of success down there. And so I decided to look into spreading my wings and go, you know. So ended up deciding to move out to Colorado.
Whoa, you're going all over the place. Colorado?
Yeah.
Okay, so how'd you end up out there?
So at the time, I was right ready for a transition. And so I thought Colorado would be a good spot to lay roots. So I moved out there, and then COVID hit. So between not only Colorado itself, being expensive, living out there, it was wild.
Was it? Yeah.
Beautiful, but expensive as all get out.
Okay.
But then also because of COVID hitting and football shutting down, I did struggle to find.
Yeah, what do you do?
You know, right. So that and a few other life things just took place, but that's, you know, that's a different day. I did decide then to move back home. So that's what I mean. Like I had some journeys. I spent some time in other
places. You've
seen
some stuff. You've been around.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Cause I did, I kind of became a bit of a journeyman, you know, wanted to explore the world and see what's out there. And then, after COVID and some other things, I was like, you know what, let's head back home. Let's, you know, cause I did need to kind of get myself reestablished, and it's always better to do that around family too.
Yeah.
And have some people
support,
to lean on.
Support system. 100%.
So yeah, I moved back home and I started working at this place where I was it was like a technical recruiter. So it was like in IT, and you basically, you're a middleman. So these companies call into your company and say, we need this type of IT guy. Go find him.
Oh, okay. Like a headhunter.
Let's call it what it is. Right. Okay. Yeah. And so that led to me ring, you know, just on the phone all
the
time.
Did you like it?
Hated it.
I was going to say, I don't think you like that.
I am not a phone conversationalist. No. Yeah. And Maddie will even tell you that one too. She'll call me every night on her way home from work, and I'll always sit there and listen to her. But there's some nights where I'm like, okay.
Yeah. In person, it's different. You know what I mean? You could read body language, expressions, and everything. But on the phone, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you come back, you're doing this headhunt stuff. So yeah, how'd you meet Maddie?
So that was actually spent a couple years kind of fishing, you know, just coming across different people, whether through friends that had friends or through I was gonna say social media, but like online dating.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so that's actually how I came across Maddie. We met on Hinge.
Oh nice. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And so now Hinge is the one where the girls got to message you first.
Okay.
So, I mean, the fact that she shot the shot, she must have saw something in me, I guess.
What'd she see? Now we got to get Maddie on the podcast.
Right,
you
know? I
know,
right?
That's awesome,
We should have, a caller in or something.
Yeah, call her up, No, I don't know if she'd answer, but so that's, you know what, and that's more like social media and Tinder and all this. It's like, there's a person out there, and if you're looking for love, you're looking for the right person, like, she's got to find them. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
So that's also, so Hinge, she shot her shot. Do you remember, could you share like what she say? Was she like, hey, good looking, or was she?
Man. So,
or let's go get tea maybe, or some coffee. You know what I mean? Something like that. Maybe.
Tea,
I don't know.
Right. Yeah. You know, here we are.
Yeah.
But, I can't remember exactly, but I remember this vividly, is that one of her first pictures was her holding I'm holding the dog on her back porch, and I'm a huge dog guy. I have my own. And then one of my first pictures was actually of me holding my baby niece.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so I can't remember if like her first message was related to that, but I know for sure that her first thoughts were, oh, he has a kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so, but at the same time, she's like, I mean, I'm still going to see what happens, though. But no, it was just my niece, but that's kind of what kind of opened the door to the initial conversation. I liked her dog. She liked my niece.
That's great. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. It all worked out. Wow. Mm-hmm. So, man, congrats. That's really cool.
Heck,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just real quick, shout out my wife, Courtney. I know she listens. We've been married now for 7 years. And
oh, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. Actually, the 14th. Yeah. April 14th. 4/14/2018.
Oh, get out.
Yeah.
That's Monday,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So. Literally Monday. Yeah. We don't worry. I got stuff planned. All right. We got stuff planned. But, there you go. Yeah. So no, it's time flies, but it's awesome. Now we got, two young babies, you know, my daughter's 2.5 and my son's a year and 3 months now. So it's cool. Like to see the different journeys you go on in your life. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you got your sports in high school and stuff and your friends like that. And then you get your college friends and, you know, then things change and you adapt. And I don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of crazy. You know, it's like,
yes,
almost like, this is going to be nerdy and people might laugh, but like a caterpillar, it's like a metamorphosis kind of thing, you know, and you mature and you grow out of being like into video games and stuff like that, you know, and all
how
of a sudden,
about it? Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden it's like, boom, you know, you got, you know, for me, it's two young babies and they're my everything. You know what I mean?
Oh, congrats
yeah.
on that. Too.
Thank you.
Now, how old are
Thank
they?
You. So yeah. Yeah. Parker, she's, my daughter. She's 2.5. And then Finn, my son, he is
Finn.
Yeah. Finn Patrick Sullivan. Yeah. So
a
little
man.
Bit Irish.
I was going to say
yeah,
a little
yeah.
bit.
A little bit. Yeah. He's a year and 3 months. And he's almost as tall and big as my daughter. Like,
wow.
Yeah. He's got potential to be, we'll see how it goes. You know, you always want your best for your kids and you want to be athletes, but I kind of hope he maybe, you know, throws some shot put here and there, or
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
plays some O-line. You never know. You
I was going to say,
and our
yeah.
daughter, if she's...
Pool and kick block.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, yeah, let's lay the wood, you know what I mean? And then my daughter's, she's tall. But again, they're young, and my wife's also tall. She's almost 6 foot, and I'm 6'2". So we're hoping, yeah. you know, maybe volleyball or
totally.
Basketball. So,
might
yeah,
some
not,
future all-stars
not to go
there.
Off the side, off the rail a little bit,
yeah.
but... Yeah, so that's awesome. Well, congrats to you and Maddie.
Yeah,
you
thank
know,
you.
That's
I'm about
exciting.
Like speaking of sidebars. So Maddie's parents have a dog named Finn. So
oh,
is
wow.
yours Finn?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So same.
Really.
Yep,
same
Finn
thing.
Again.
What's
yep.
the breed? Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely it's either a yellow lab or a golden retriever.
Okay.
It's one of those.
Yeah,
it's like
I love those dogs.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's that melt in your arms
uh-huh.
kind of dude.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then both of her siblings have. Have a boy. Her younger brother has a 1-year-old, one and some change. His name's Shepherd, and the dude
name?
Just like squats all the time.
Really?
Yeah. And so like, you know, me being the football guy, I'm like,
right?
oh yeah, he's gonna, you know,
yeah.
he's just lining up a 3-point stance, put your hand
yeah.
down. He's starting to thin out a little bit more. So I don't know if lineman's in his future, but now her older sister just had a boy right around the holidays. His name's Charles, and that boy is a big boy.
He's a big boy.
Oh yeah.
yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's
so,
got potential. He's
yes.
got potential.
Maddie came up with a nickname for him. His nickname is Chunk Roast.
Chunk Roast.
Chunk Roast.
Chunk Roast.
So,
I
yeah.
love it.
oh, they're
yeah.
they're both great. I
That's
love
awesome.
It. Yeah.
You know, and it's like it is. It's so cool. But yeah, the reason, and real quick, and then we gotta get back
yeah,
on
yeah.
the topic. But so Finn, a lot of people are like, why Finn? And there used to be a restaurant on 422 called the Inn 422, you know, spelled I-N at 422. And ever since I was little, I would, you know, my dad and my mom, we go there, you know, birthdays and, you know, family events and stuff. We go there. We got to know the owners, this and that. So that's actually where I took Courtney on our very first date.
Oh, nice.
And yeah. And then I even proposed there. Because it meant so much, like the people there, the staff and everything, the owners. I mean, they knew me since I was a little guy with hair on my head. And, you know, now it's a shame they sold and got out. I think they moved to Florida or something.
Really? Okay.
I know. Yeah. It's a hibachi now, which is good. You know,
yeah.
the food's good and everything. But
so you've still been back.
I've still been back.
Yeah.
Still support,
yeah.
you know, support local.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so that's why Finn, because Finn. And then my grandfather and dad are both Patrick. So the middle name and so forth. But that's beside it. I could go on about my kids all night or all day.
We're not at that point yet, but I get it. Yeah, I could talk family all the time.
That's exciting. So let's take a snack break real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This snack break is brought to you by Jerky Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jerky Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jerky Beef Jerky, eat, meat, repeat. Where do we leave off? Cedar Cliff.
Yeah, just got back from Colorado, met Maddie. Yeah. Now, that didn't happen right after Colorado. It was actually a couple years. So I guess to in the timeline, we'll have to rewind a little bit because I did not do the headhunting for long because I did hate that.
Yeah, I can't see you doing that.
Yeah. So actually, there was a board member at Northern Lebanon High School who my dad is also good friends with.
Okay.
I mean, my dad knows just about everybody.
Everybody, yeah. So it's a good thing, connections.
Yeah. I mean, he actually ended up working up to become an athletic director for almost 15 years.
Oh, wow.
So built a lot through that.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, a board member had reached out to my dad and more so just be like, hey, you know, do you happen to know anybody that would be interested in applying and interviewing for this job out here? Sure enough, I had just got back from Colorado, and my dad's like, "We're not going to believe this one."
Perfect timing. Yeah, it's all meant to be, right? Heck, you know.
So, went out there, interviewed, and then it just all the stars aligned at that time.
Yeah.
So, I'll never forget. I actually just got done with a workout, and I got a call from who was the AD out there at the time, and right away I'm thinking like, okay, when this is the call, I'd be like, thanks, but but he's like, yeah, so it's yours, you want it? And I was like,
yeah, let's go. Right. yeah.
So that was awesome. Almost, well, I guess technically it would be 5 years ago because it was probably February of 21. Well, yeah, 21.
Okay.
So yeah, so it'd be 4 or 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
And so the next part was, okay, how can I get out of this full-time job recruiting?
Because you hate that.
Yeah, I was not a fan of it. So as I'm putting together my staff then, I actually hired one of the guys that I coached here at LVC.
Okay.
And he was in education and everything, and he was like, Coach, I teach at this school. It's called Yellow Breeches. So Yellow Breeches is not a public school. It is an alternate education school. So basically, the kids that, for more or less, misbehave to an extreme level in their public school, get sent then to this Yellow Breeches.
Oh, wow.
So it's alternative education, mostly around behavioral issues, but legally though it's because of like IEPs and learning disabilities and stuff like that.
Okay.
But often at times those two coincide, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, interesting. Okay. And he was telling me, and he's like, yeah, you know, we go out and do really fun things each week, and it's a smaller classroom environment, and it's kind of like an impact on kids who really need somebody to impact them.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I'm sold. Like, who do I reach out to? Then going into that first year of coaching at Northern Lebanon, then I also became a teacher at Yellow Breeches, out in Harrisburg.
Okay.
So,
what was that? What was that coach's name that got you?
Jake Whitfield.
Jake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I used to coach Jake. He played defensive line at LVC. And now he's teaching and coaching at Hershey.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, so I guess I know he's coaching at Hershey. I'm not sure if his teaching has taken him there yet.
Yeah.
He was actually at Lebanon City.
Okay.
For some time too.
Yeah. At what point then, you know, so obviously this is different, right? The teaching experience for you, it
mm-hmm.
has to be a little different, you know?
Yeah.
What was it like? And then, you know, how do you transfer from there? From there, do you go to Cedar Cliff?
So I spent actually almost 4 years at Yellow Breeches.
Okay.
So I started off actually as a science teacher. And so here's the way it works there is you're actually a special education teacher. So that's what opened my door to special education. They pay for all your certifications and everything, and you go through classes. But in that dynamic of the school, they still have to have somebody who teaches science, somebody who teaches social studies, math, English.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I started off as a science teacher for the first year. And then as soon as our history teacher then moved to a different spot, I was like, yep, I'll take that one.
Yeah, you're a history teacher for sure. Yeah. And history teachers are always they're my favorite, because it's like, it seemed like always, I can think of two right now, teachers that I had when I was in high school, and they're also coaches. Football coaches.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's that typical, they're either social studies or they're gym teachers.
Yeah, that's it. Right, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. But, okay, so then you became a history teacher and also coaching here at Northern Lebanon. Wow. So, and the Cedar Cliff, that just came about, something opened up, or they reach out to you, or you reach out to them?
I reached out to them first. So, Maddie and I, our relationship grew very strong, and we knew, almost instantly, we knew that, like,
stay tuned for part two next week. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.